It had been a difficult trip for her because she couldn't tell her parents that she'd started trying to avoid having Mickey in her field of vision, and by the fourth and final day, she'd developed a rash. Mickey hadn't subsequently become a problem, but she still avoided him anyway, out of a sense of having had a close shave. Now Boone apologizes for having to check his email, says he may have incoming he'd like her to see, sits on a bench and gets out his laptop. She goes to the canal's edge and looks down. A gray condom drifting like a jellyfish, a lager can half afloat, and deeper down swirls something she can't identify, swathed in a pale and billowing caul of ragged builder's plastic. She shudders and turns away. "Have a look at this," he says, looking up from his screen, the open laptop across his knees. She crosses the towpath and sits beside him. He passes her the laptop. Washed out in the afternoon light, she sees an opened message. "There's something encrypted in each of these, but that's all I can tell you. Whatever it is, it's not much data, and that's uniform from segment to segment. If it were bigger, maybe. But as it is, this is the best I can do. Definitely a needle in your haystack." "Who's it from?" "Friend of mine at Rice. I had him look at all 135 segments."
"What's he do?"
"Math. I've never even remotely understood it. Interviews angles for positions on pinheads. We had him on board for the startup. Encryption issues, but that's only a byproduct of whatever it is he does theoretically. Seems to find it intensely comical that there's any practical application whatever." And she hears herself say, "It's a watermark." Then he's looking at her. She can't read the look at all. "How do you know?"
"There's someone in Tokyo who claims to have a number that someone else extracted from Segment 78.
"Who extracted it?"
"Footage heads, otaku types."
"Do you have the number?"
"No, I'm not even positive that it's true. He might be making it up."
"Why?"
"To impress a girl, but she doesn't exist either."
He stares at her. "What would it take to find out if it's true?"
"An airport," she says, having to admit to herself now that she's already worked it out, already gone there. "A ticket and a lie." He takes the laptop back, shuts it down, closes it, leaving his hands resting on the featureless gray metal. Looking down at it, he might be praying. Then he looks up at her.
"Your call. If it's real and you can get it, it might take us somewhere."
"I know," she says, and that's really all she can say. So she just sits there, wondering what she might have set in motion, where it might go, and why.
This is the end of the CD. The audiobook continues on the next CD.